Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Israel is tightening its grip on northern Gaza. Israeli Defense Forces says it's less than 48 hours from entering Gaza City for face-to-face fighting with Hamas. The IDF says it stopped firing on certain areas to allow Palestinians safe passage out. The BBC's Mark Lawin.
Today, for 4 hours, the main road connecting north and south Gaza will be open for some of the civilians that are still in northern Gaza to make their way to a safer area in the south of the Gaza Strip.
All communications from the territory have been cut off for the third time since the war began. A day after a surprise stop in the West Bank, Secretary of State Blinken is in Turkey, where he says the U.S. goal is
what we can do to set the conditions for a durable, sustainable, lasting peace for Israelis and Palestinians.
CIA Director William Burns has arrived in Israel. Jordan's king says his country's military airdropped medical aid to a field hospital in Gaza overnight. Former President Trump is prepping for his turn on the witness stand at his civil fraud trial in New York City today. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
President Trump is going to reassert the same defense he offered in his deposition. My real estate portfolio is even more valuable than my accountant certified. Real estate valuations are inherently subjective, and there was a disclaimer on my financial statements that the numbers may not be accurate and that the bank should do their own valuations.
The outcome of the trial could cost Mr. Trump control of properties like Manhattan's Trump Tower. Mr. Trump's former attorney, John Eastman, is speaking out about a memo he wrote urging former Vice President Pence to stop the 2020 election certification process. Eastman tells 60 Minutes' Scott Pelley.
The threat to shutting down speech of opposing political views means that the people are no longer in charge of the direction of their government.
He, Mr. Trump, and 17 others were charged with election tampering in Georgia. Maine Senators Susan Collins and Angus King sent a letter to the U.S. Army Inspector General this morning. They're demanding a full accounting of interactions with a reservist before he shot and killed 18 people in Lewiston last month. A law enforcement source tells the AP one soldier sent a text in September expressing concern Robert Card would, quote, snap and do a mass shooting. Warning about a favorite kids' meal. Here's CBS's Stacey Lynn.
Tyson Foods is recalling nearly 30,000 pounds of dinosaur-shaped chicken patties after some people reported finding small pieces of metal in them.
S&P futures are up 9. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new survey finds almost three-quarters of water samples drawn across Wisconsin last year were contaminated with PFAS chemicals. Scientists with the state sampled 450 private wells that reach no deeper than 40 feet. It's the first time Wisconsin sampled shallow groundwater away from large communities or PFAS cleanup and investigation sites. Most of the wells had PFAS concentrations lower than both state DNR and federal EPA standards. Wisconsin could get $229 million from Washington to help pay to keep children in daycare. It's part of an emergency request the Biden administration is making to Congress after pandemic daycare funding ran out at the end of September. The Wisconsin legislature rejected Governor Evers' special session on child care this fall. After that, Evers released $170 million in emergency funding. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers hold on to beat the Rams. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Rams 20-3 at Lambeau Field. The turning point of the game may have come in the fourth quarter when defensive back Jaire Alexander deflected a deep pass intended for Cooper Kupp but was picked off by Packers rookie safety Anthony Johnson.
Quarterback was looking one way. I broke that way. Ja came out of nowhere, tipped it up, caught it.
I asked Jaire about the defense holding the Rams to just 3 points in the game.
Probably should have held them to zero, but, you know, it is exciting to see just 3 points. You know, you can win a lot of games like that.
Up next, the Packers head to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Nets in Brooklyn. Tip-off time tonight in the Barclays Center at 6:30. The Bucks' Bobby Portis says at 3-2, things are coming along, but you've got to remember, the players are human, not video game characters.
When you put teams together, 5-6 new faces, it's going to take time to gel. This ain't 2K, you feel me? This is real life.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Ample sunshine expected today. Daytime highs approaching 64. Southwest winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Lows around 39. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, highs around 48. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
7:06 now on this Monday, November 6th. Welcome back to Up North News Radio across the Civic Media Radio Network. Greg Bach is here. Selena Heller is here. Coming up this hour, our Motherhood Monday segment features the leadership team of Motherhood for Good as we mark 1 year to go until the critically important 2024 elections. We're going to talk about the big races, the most pressing issues, and how busy parents can engage one another in talking about this extremely important election. We'll talk to Danielle, Kate, Emily, and Aaron, all coming up at the bottom of the hour here. We'll talk to Jennifer Wojcicki in just a few minutes about the forecast from Weatherology. And Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will have three things you need to know to start the week with us. And we invite your phone calls as well at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. You can also call or text us from the Civic Media app. Download that, get that on your phone, listen to the show, listen to different shows from different stations. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or you can leave a comment on our Facebook page if you're watching the live video feed over there. Again, 7:07 is the time, coming up on 7:08, not 8:08.
No.
Was anybody else extra early for something? You know, get to church an hour early or anything like that?
One year I went to the station overnight, wrong time, an hour early.
Oh, that's not good. I am insanely jealous of people who can get that. They always talk about the extra hour of sleep. I've never gotten that. I wake up when I wake up, which is normally 4:30. And so I woke up at 4:30, except now the clock says 3:30. Oh, great. There's some fun.
People always try to sell that. Like, they're like, but you get an extra hour of sleep. I'm like, they don't care. Like,
it's something that we have to deal with. And again, I'm a daylight savings proponent. We all adjust. It's just that for those first couple of days, and you let these little things throw you off. Not just like waking up and the clock says 3:30, but I was then driving up to Rice Lake yesterday morning, and our church starts at 9 o'clock. And I, again, everything digital, your iPhone and everything resets automatically. At some point along the drive, I look at the clock on my car, and for that split second, you go, oh my gosh, I am so late. No, you're not. You knew this when you got in the car. And yet you look at that car clock. Same thing happened early this morning. Again, on my wife's side of the bed is one of those old school alarm clocks, you know, with the red numbers and the creaky old buttons. And again, it said an hour and a half, and I had to think for a second, like, did I wake up on time? Like, yes.
I have a non-smart watch, so it happened to me twice yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Where you just look and go, Now, some people have been proponents of, abolishing daylight saving time, but I think that the way to go is to make it a permanent switch. And Selena, you have done a story like that for Up North News.
Yes, I think we put out the story just at the end of the week last week, just the question, you know, should Wisconsin make a permanent switch to daylight savings time? And my goodness, I think last night there were almost 200 opinions or comments. So we put those together and I put that on our website. So there's a lot of comments from people, a lot of them saying, you know, just make a switch and keep it that way, whatever it is, and we'll get used to it, whatever it is. And then somebody says, let's see, there's no way to please everyone, so staying with the way it is now is the best compromise. Most people get some of what they enjoy. Well, and
here's the
Norma Rome said that.
Okay. Here's the complicating factor in all of this is that, you know, time zones are these vertical things, these vertical stripes, you know, along the country. But when we're talking about, you know, the sun and the whole need for daylight savings time, you really only need it in the northern half of the country. Because the closer you get to the equator, you know, the closer you get to basically 12 hours of daylight year round, almost. You know, when we lived in the Caribbean for a time, it was only like an hour off. You know, the sun set at the latest at, you know, 7:15 or something like that. And it's weird because you're used to, in the summertime here, sun doesn't go down till almost 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
But down there, you know, 7 o'clock. But that's okay, because in the wintertime, you get sunlight until like 5:30, whereas here, it's starting to get dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So
well, sure, how about Alaska?
Yes, Alaska. So there in the northern parts of the country, it would make sense to make it a permanent switch. Or let me put it this way, to make a permanent switch to daylight saving time, because the folks in the southern parts, they can adjust to anything, you know, they just don't want to switch it around anymore. In the northern parts, we don't want the sun coming up in the summertime at 3:30 in the morning, you know, so we should permanently switch it. People will say, well, wait, you know, the sun's supposed to be straight up at noon. I don't have a sundial. Do you have a sundial? I don't think any of us is.
People actually commented that they want high noon. They want the sun.
You know? That's a really specific, like, I grew up in a high noon house. It will always be a high noon house.
It just doesn't. Here's the thing with me is not that the sun has to be straight up at noon, but now we're getting to that time of year, because I've got a south facing window here where the sun gets a little lower. And so for about 2 hours every day, I've just got like this, you know, retina burning, you know, beam coming in. So people come by and they're like, why is there a beach towel hanging in Kreitler's front window? It's like, well, because like, I don't need to close the whole curtain. I just need to block out the, you know, the brightest parts that are out there. Oh, the fun we're having with the sun today.
Oh,
last hour, it was fun with liquor. Today, it's fun with the position of the sun. But, you know, again, I'm not surprised that you got good response to that. And I will we'll talk after weather a bit about a couple of the other stories that you're working on here. But I wanted to get to sports as well before Jennifer Wojcicki joins us with the weatherology forecast. The Green Bay Packers beat the LA Rams 20-7, snapping a four-game losing skid. It was not a pretty game, but it was effective, especially the ground game, where Packers had 184 rushing yards in total for the game. Jordan Love went 20 of 26 for 228 yards, despite getting sacked four times. So again, the Packers win 20-7, and the Packers will play next Sunday in Pittsburgh, and that'll be a noon kickoff. Badger football team lost to Indiana on Saturday 20-14. Their next game is back at Camp Randall against Northwestern. That's coming up this Saturday at 2:30. Bucks were winners just barely over the New York Knicks on Friday. And then tonight they are in Brooklyn to take on the Nets. The Bucks are 3-2 on the season right now. You can catch the Bucks game tonight and all season long on News from the Center in Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, 92Q Country in Park Falls, and locally grown radio WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. The Badger women's volleyball team, straight set winners on Saturday against Illinois. They have two road matches this weekend, Friday at Maryland and then Saturday at Penn State. The Badger men's hockey team swept fourth-ranked Michigan on the road, so it'll be interesting to see where their new rankings are. Both they and the Badger women's hockey team are off this week. They are both back in action November 17th and 18th on the road. The Brewers have traded Mark Canha to the Detroit Tigers for a minor league pitcher. And Level 4 is coming up this week of the WIAA State High School Football Playoffs, and the winners this coming week will head to Camp Randall to vie for a state title. 7 o'clock temperatures include 55 degrees here on Lake Wissota. Hayward coming in at 50 degrees. Wausau is not reporting. Somebody broke the thermometer in Wausau. Green Bay is at 54. La Crosse, 55. Wisconsin Rapids, 56. Madison is at 55 degrees. Park Falls, 49. Oshkosh, 55. And Waukesha, 54. And now we're going to get the full details on the weatherology forecast. Meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki is here to tell us all about it. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it does look like maybe a few spotty chances for rain showers still early on this morning from Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids through Oshkosh and down to Waukesha and Milwaukee, becoming mostly sunny for southern Wisconsin and staying cloudy for everyone else today. Mid to low 60s expected from Oshkosh down to Milwaukee and over towards Richland Center, holding steady in the mid to low 50s this morning for central and west central Wisconsin, but then slowly falling throughout the day as a cold front comes through the daytime hours. Cloudy for all tomorrow and cooler, highs in the 40s for nearly everyone Tuesday. A little warmer in the lower low to mid-50s for Madison and through southwestern Wisconsin. Looks like a chance for rain for all coming in mainly late Tuesday night. Midweek Wednesday, a chance for rain across the board. Not much of a difference with the high temperatures compared to Tuesday. Mid to low 50s for southern Wisconsin and 40s for central and west central Wisconsin. A dry second half of the work week for all. Sunny on Thursday with highs in the mid-40s to low 50s for everyone. On Sunday, sunny for most. More cloud cover expected from central Wisconsin over towards Amory and Baldwin. Upper 30s expected for Amory and Baldwin over towards Wausau, then lingering in the 40s for everyone else.
You know what I'm not hearing, Jennifer? I'm not hearing teens. Anything like that in the future? Well, not the future. Of course there is, but not the near future?
No, it doesn't look like it. And I should also clarify, I said Sunday, I meant Friday. So.
No, not a worry. All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
And we're going to allow Jennifer to make that little mistake on the days, because turns out I was making a mistake on the Packer score. It was actually they beat the Rams 20-3. I'd been saying 20-7. So we managed to hold them to a field goal on that. So,
well.
Yeah. Let's get straight. If you're betting the over under based on the score that I give you, your bookie is going to laugh you right out of the room. So don't go in there going, hey, 20-7. Like somebody's going to bet on that. I try not to talk about fantasy football unless, of course, it's, you know, going to make fun of me. So I'm going to say that.
Are you going to?
I'm going to, because apparently I have the attention span of a goldfish, because I reminded myself multiple times this week to put Aaron Jones back on the roster because he was, you know, all healed up, and to get McCaffrey on the bench because it's a bye week. And every time I'd try to remind myself that, and then I'd get distracted and something else came up. And it wasn't until last night I thought, oh no. And I looked, and sure enough, I never made the switch, and I lost this week's game by like 5 points and would have easily won if I'd had just done that thing I was telling myself to do. But I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it.
You lost at fake football.
I know. Which it's not even for money. It's for like pride. Well, let's see how well that's working out for me. More with Selena. Then we've got Motherhood Monday coming up at the bottom of the hour. You're up north.
The Shaw, WAUK.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
The Todd Almost Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Eagles, Glenn Frey for his what should have been his 75th birthday today.
There's talk on the street, it sounds so familiar.
If you miss it during our 6 a.m. hour, we have a daily history lesson around about 6:50. And we'd love to have you take part as well. But if you can't catch our first hour of the show, you can catch it as a podcast. You can go to Apple, Spotify, all the normal places, and subscribe to the show and listen on demand that way. Or if you just need a onesie, a twosie here and there, I just missed this one show. I just want to hear, how did Kreitler screw up this time? Just go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You'll see a map of stations around Wisconsin and the many ways that you can listen on air, online, and on demand. Selena Heller from Up North News is with us, along with Greg Bach. And Selena, as we were talking about stories that you were working on for us, we have that time of the season now, hunting season, gun season isn't that far away, bow season right now, and chronic wasting disease is still very much a part of the mix for hunters to be aware of.
Well, it still is. And, you know, we go back to 1999 when the DNR started testing for CWD. And then the first case was in 2022. Gosh, I remember that time. It's changed a little bit in that there isn't such a frenzy anymore. And people aren't as kind of frightened by it because we've talked about it for, or what did I say, 2022? 1999. And then a couple of years later, the first case was there. So, there are self-service kiosks that are out for CWD. They're available 24/7 and you can do your own testing right at the kiosk. They make it pretty easy. They encourage all hunters to test their deer, no matter if, you know, sometimes the deer is visibly showing signs of that it's not quite right. Sometimes it isn't. It takes 2 years for a deer to get sick and ultimately die from CWD. That's kind of a 100% chance that that will happen. So you don't know that it's there necessarily, but they encourage CWD testing in all deer.
Yeah, very much so. The Jewish community in Wisconsin is obviously monitoring things in the Middle East and noting, you know, that there's just a rise in you know, hatred against Jews, against Palestinians. It's just gotten to be something that's extremely divisive. And for the Jewish community in Wisconsin, that has given concern about, you know, anti-Semitic attacks.
Right. We haven't seen any major things in the state, but of course, invariably, it's going to be a concern for everybody living here. I talked with a rabbi of a synagogue in La Crosse, and he talked about they always have a presence of police at their events just as a deterrence. They don't want to be complacent, so they always have a La Crosse PD presence at all of their events just to be on the safe side. I talked with the Jewish Foundation of Madison, who talked about how things are kind of exacerbated in this day and age with social media. So that, of course, doesn't help any matters at all because people just put things out there and just kind of hide behind those awful things that they say.
Yes, they do. Compared to, well, it's the digital version of, you know, having a white robe on and a hood to hide your identity. And it's somewhat depressing for me to see this because of the a book that I'm reading right now. Several weeks back, we had the author of a book on about the difference that happened in the Democratic Party once Hubert Humphrey made a speech at the 1948 convention saying Democrats need to be the party that favors civil rights rather than blocking them. And the author does a really good job. I haven't really gotten to a lot of the parts about Hubert Humphrey or the convention. He's setting the scene up by talking about what it's like to be Jewish in Minneapolis, what it's like to be black in Minneapolis or Milwaukee or a lot of these northern cities. We think of all this hatred and division as something that's unique to the South, but it's not, especially anti-Semitism. And to watch what the discrimination and hostility that the Jewish communities have had to go through, you know, here in the upper Midwest. And this was the 1930s. Everybody was looking for somebody to blame, you know, because it was the Great Depression and, you know, there had to be villains out there. And, you know, in this case, the Jewish community came under attack. And, here we are again because of developments, you know, military developments out there and a humanitarian crisis. And I guess this is all just to say, I hope we can all be better than that, that we can make points if we want. We can make passionate points if we want. But for our Jewish friends and neighbors to actually fear attacks is, you know, really something I'd hoped we wouldn't see in this day and age.
Well, right. And both of them talked to me and they said, you know, we're kind of, sadly, we're kind of used to this. Yeah. That's what they both talked about. But in the end, at the end of our conversation, the rabbi, he said, just love your neighbor. That's what his ultimate message was. Love your neighbor.
That's it. And you don't even have to love some of the neighbors, but you can respect them and let them live.
Get along with them.
Yeah. Which brings us to a wild form of neighbor, and that would be bats. My experience with bats had been when at UW-Eau Claire, but you find this in any college town, that bats would get into off-campus housing and somebody would have to call on, you know, somebody to come along and, you know, bring a tennis racket and take care of, dispatch the critter. But we really should be nicer to our little flying friends.
No, we should. They do a lot of good things, eat the bad bugs and all sorts of, they're pollinators. So they're our friends. And that's what.
You're that Greg, friends, not food.
Yeah. What kind of statement is that to make? Do I eat bats? I'm just going to say this. Google bats and Airbnb. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying that's a hilarious story. Bats and Airbnb, and you're welcome. And I don't disagree. Bats are wonderful and they're kind of cute.
I was waiting for you to say something like, yeah, but you put them on the grill and holy cow, just barbecue sauce.
My sister terrified me at home. I had long hair and she would, if it would get to dusk and we were outside, she'd be like, the bats are going to fly in your hair. She did that every single time. And so I was always like, but anyway, people are looking for volunteers. Okay. The DNR, there's a program and they're looking for volunteers to count bats and make sure they have good homes, I guess, just to keep the numbers up on bats. That's what we want to make sure of in the state. I think there were 19,000 bats they counted last year across the state. They tracked them.
we've talked a few times about, you know, having various hobbies or volunteer activities, and we've discussed other ways that people are in nature, counting birds, you know, types of birds, taking stock of, you know, the fish and other things in Wisconsin streams. There are several programs where people can really be helpful in, you know, counting the population and ensuring that we have good habitats. I think that's very cool.
Well, and the hard thing is bats are out at night and they fly fast. So it's a little tricky.
Wouldn't they be called bat-a-tats? Whoop!
Bat-a-tats. Yes.
Yes, they would.
I'm hilarious.
I know. So do you put in there how people can do more, who they can reach out to?
Yes. It's called the Wisconsin Bat Program. So you sign up. It's a year-long program, so it's not just seasonal. But yeah, you can participate the whole year.
Okay. Very good. Celine's got all that and more over on social media and on her website. In both cases, just search for Up North News WI, upnorthnewswi.com. Hey, thanks a lot, Selena. Have a good start to the week.
You too.
All right. We'll see you later. And when we come back, Motherhood Monday, 1 year to go till the 2024 elections. You're up north.
It's those.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israel's military says it expects troops to enter Gaza City within the next 48 hours. The BBC's Mark Lowen.
We have frequently seen plumes of smoke billowing after Israeli airstrikes on the Gaza Strip, some of which have been the largest that many here have seen for several days, even weeks.
Donald Trump expected to take the stand at a civil fraud trial in New York City today. CBS's Naomi Ruckum.
The former president testified in a deposition in April. He never felt his financial statements would be taken very seriously and warned people doing business with him to do their homework.
Mr. Trump's former attorney John Eastman is speaking out about a memo he wrote arguing for former Vice President Pence to stop the 2020 election certification process. Eastman tells CBS's 60 Minutes.
All of my actions were designed to investigate illegality in the election to see if they had an impact.
Eastman is charged along with Mr. Trump and others in the Georgia election tampering case. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is dismissing suggestions that a conservative advertising blitz persuaded him to move articles of impeachment forward against Megan Wolf. The group bought $100,000 of TV and newspaper ads in Milwaukee calling for Voss's ouster. Voss tells the Cap Times the group doesn't understand how the process works. Wisconsin Democrats are in campaign mode a year early. They're launching a statewide organizing effort in 115 communities this weekend. President Biden might not have long coattails in Wisconsin. State Party Chair Ben Wickler says that won't matter.
Voters are casting ballots because of the issues, because of their yearning for freedom, because they want to have the power to make their own decisions about their own bodies, because they want to live in a democracy.
Wickler points to Democrats' recent wins for statewide office and Jenna Protasiewicz's Supreme Court victory. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Under the helmet with the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
We got back of pride. We ain't going to drop three in a row.
Yeah, I would have dropped three in a row.
Not no more.
Not again, you mean?
See, here's the thing, Earl. If you play in a divisional foe, it's a different game.
Well, they played the Detroit Lions a divisional foe and got their heads handed to them.
But this is another one, the one we should beat.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Ample sunshine expected today. Daytime highs approaching 64. Southwest winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Lows around 39. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, highs around 48. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
friends from Motherhood for Good join us and talk about topics that are in the news, reasons why busy parents should be thinking about political issues because they do affect them. And with 1 year to go until the election, our friends there said, why don't we get pretty much the whole executive team on and talk about the importance of the race. And so welcome to the radio, Danielle Scampini-Lynn, Kate Duffy, Aaron Phillips, Emily Tyne, pretty much the whole group except Nicole Slavin, who has been away for more than a month. So I got to figure out what I said to her and apologize for it. But other than that, ladies, good morning. Nice to have you here.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Yeah, thanks. You as well. I know that you, well, first off, let me get the Instagram address up because the best way to learn about the Motherhood for Good folks is over at Instagram and search for Motherhood for Good and you'll see what they're doing, the messages that they're providing. I'm just going to go, clockwise around my computer screen to all of you ladies here. So Danielle, first one comes to you about the, you know, why today? Why are, it's not just you, it's a lot of people are making a big deal about, you know, that this is 1 year away. That used to be kind of exhausting, like, don't tell me the election's a year away, but now it seems like it's really, people want to start focusing on these things. Why is that?
You know, I think it's because in the last, you know, decade, we'll say almost a decade, people have become a lot more engaged. They're starting to realize how important elections are, how much they matter to their daily lives. And so they're starting to tune in sooner. And I think that's great. They want to be more informed. They want to understand what, you know, what the candidates are, what their issues are. And you know, also time is flying. I don't know, maybe that's just me as a busy parent, but I know we're saying, oh, it's a year away, but I think we're going to blink and it's going to be the election. And so I think a lot of people are feeling that as well, as let's get engaged now before it's kind of too late.
Yeah, very much so. And Kate, that's always been part of the, you know, Motherhood for Good reason for existing, is to get people engaged early and not say, oh, I wish I would have known sooner. I could have made a difference. That's something that you want to get to people right now, who aren't already engaged. What do you tell them as far as, you know, how you can start to do that?
Well, that's our whole thing, is like getting engaged politically sustainably. It's kind of like training for a marathon, right? Like you can't just like all of a sudden run a marathon a year from now. You have to like, you know, learn how to incorporate it into your life and practice, you know, sustainability and consistency over time. So our whole thing is like, yeah, don't wait until it's go time. And then you have to like, feel like you need to do all these phone banks or knock on doors or do all these things, which those are always great when it is go time. But find like 10, 15 minutes every day to just like find a couple like different media outlets or whatever, or podcasts or accounts on Instagram that can keep you informed, and just digest that information and start looking at some of the races that are going to be happening, both, you know, at the top of the ticket and some of your local races, and just like put in a little bit of time every day, a little bit every week, however you want to do it. And just like educate yourself and start talking to people about, you know, the elections that are going to be coming up, because it is going to be here before we know it. So not only is it a year until the elections, it's also been a year since we formed Motherhood for Good, which was like right after the midterms last year. And that totally did fly by. I cannot believe it's been a year. So yes, before we know it, we are going to be having this conversation on a Monday morning right before the election again. And we're going to be like, how did we get here already? So our whole thing is do what you can daily or weekly, so that it doesn't feel like a tidal wave when the elections come on. And here in Wisconsin, they're so intense that we know there's messaging everywhere. So if you already kind of know what's going on and you don't have to drink from the fire hose, it's a little bit easier.
Aaron, we hear a lot, obviously, about the presidential election, which is 1 year away. And it is, of course, very important. But here in Wisconsin, we have an even bigger race from a state standpoint with Tammy Baldwin seeking re-election. There is not a leading Republican candidate right now. But we also have to remind people, nobody knew who Ron Johnson was until about 5 months before the election when he just popped on the scene. So given that Motherhood for Good first came to be as Moms for Mandela, I'm guessing you're going to have an interest in this Senate race too, and tell folks why that is, why it's important that Tammy Baldwin's re-election race against an opponent yet to be named is important to Wisconsin parents.
Yeah, I mean, for
first of all, if any listeners haven't familiarized themselves yet with Tammy Baldwin, you should immediately. You should learn about her, learn about her story, try to go to an event where she's going to be. I mean, she's just incredible. So one, we have to protect having her as representing our state. I mean, she's just an incredible senator. The work that she does in Congress is astounding. And, you know, she really gets stuff done. And so, you know, what do moms want to see in a candidate? They want to see candidates who get stuff done. And Tammy does that. But also, like you're saying, I feel like of all the states, people in Wisconsin, voters in Wisconsin need to never, never lean on being complacent, right? Like you're saying, nobody knew who Ron Johnson was when he came along to run. We need to make sure that we aren't laying back, you know, resting on our laurels, which Tammy has plenty, but we can't rest on our laurels. We have to protect her seat. We have to protect her in this seat. And then just ensure that, I mean, frankly, at the moment that Republicans keep being scared to run anybody against her, somebody will come up. I mean, that's crazy to think otherwise. But it's just crucial, right? She's such a powerhouse, and we just have to do everything we can to stand behind her.
And it's important, I think, Emily, to note the, you know, that whether it's overconfidence about, you know, Tammy Baldwin's current situation or people, you know, bedwetting about Joe Biden's poll numbers, that, you know, any assumptions you make today, 52 weeks out, are foolish, and that you basically have to, what's the deal is plan to work and then work the plan. So Emily, what's your plan for, you know, talking to new parents and getting them engaged in, you know, this type of outreach and activity?
Yeah, I mean, I think if the last few elections have taught us anything, that moms and parents are going to make a big difference. We have a huge voting bloc in this country, and we turned out because of Roe, but I think many of us are here because there's nothing more radicalizing in terms of paying attention to what's happening in our politics and in our government than becoming a parent and going through some of the things. All it takes is to see one of your friends go through a maternal health crisis or struggle getting back to work with too short of parental leave or struggle to find childcare to really understand that what you do in the ballot box impacts your day to day and your children. And so our plan is to just continue to do what Kate was saying. You know, a lot of my friends who used to not vote or who used to not pay attention, they do not because right before the election, I'm texting them and asking them to vote, but because I'm checking in on them as a friend. But then I also feed them a little bit of that data or that article I read or a point of view of one of the folks that are running and remind them that all the elections matter, right? Having Biden in the White House is going to be critical to so many different things. And he's done so much in his first term, and we've got to share that with folks, but it's all the way down the ballot. And in Wisconsin, we're going to have our state assembly up and our state Senate, and hopefully we'll have fair maps soon, but we can also make a lot happen in the electorate just by getting out to vote. So our plan is to just keep having those day-to-day personal conversations and connecting with voters, getting them to the polls.
Danielle, the Dobbs decision, of course, has been motivating voters ever since it came out. And Dr. Lyerly was on in the last hour to remind us not to look past tomorrow in several other states, Ohio, one of them, with issue one on the ballot. However that turns out, and again, all indications are that, you know, women and advocates for women's health care rights are going to be at the polls as much as ever before. I sense that, you know, this will continue to be an issue that motivates people. I just want to know if you still think that's going to be the case. I know I've asked it before, but people ask, well, this whole anger about the Dobbs decision, will it cool off in the coming year?
The easy answer is no, because, you know, even if it's not top of the news, top of the headlines every single day, it is top of mind for people of childbearing age and people who care about people of childbearing age. You know, just because you're not hearing about it every single day because of everything else that's going on in the world, that will always, it's about your personal bodily autonomy. And that can never be pushed to the back of your mind. So I definitely think it's going to still be a motivating factor. And it kind of has to be, because it affects all of us. It affects us. It will affect our children if we don't get this, you know, fixed. So I definitely think that is going to remain a motivating factor in the coming election.
And then from a state standpoint, Kate, one of the motivating factors has to be the Republican legislators and their intransigence on supporting childcare and, you know, continuing to once again just trash the governor's proposal for supporting childcare and saying, let's just pass tax cuts instead. Now, the governor was able to divert some funds to keep childcare accounts alive into early 2025. But again, the reaction from Republican legislators, who in so many words were saying, well, if more women would stay home, we wouldn't have this problem. I'm thinking I've seen the people taking action at the Capitol. This is going to be a thing throughout the year.
Oh my gosh. I can't. Are you trying to get me riled up?
How are we doing?
Our Republican state legislature is really just something. And I think that's one of those things. They give us plenty of material to kind of talk to people about all the time, especially with childcare. That's been a really big one that's been in the news that they just refuse to do anything about, have these ridiculous statements that like mothers should just stay home with their children. Again, they're trying to like send us back to the 1950s tradwife scenario. Maybe we want to work and we're good at work. And can you imagine if like the people who are listening, if, you know, the women that you worked with, who are probably some of the most reliable people you worked with, all of a sudden didn't work anymore. Like, we're not going back in that direction. And beyond the childcare, I mean, there's just so many things that our Republican legislature kind of just refuses to take action on. They just stall everything. They don't work across the aisle at all. They never want to compromise. And I think the more we can share those instances of them just sticking their feet in the ground and not making any progress whatsoever, the more we can highlight those races and how important they are to people as well. And again, yeah, somebody mentioned the fair maps. We'll see what happens with the maps, but we're going to be so much better off if we can get people engaged in those state legislature races and start voting for those as well. So we can get better representation at that level and people who care about, you know, moms and parents and working families and giving them the resources that they need to be able to not only thrive here in Wisconsin, but then be a destination where more people want to move here and come here, because we are not headed in that direction and something needs to change.
And speaking of redistricting, now things could move really fast next year with this redistricting lawsuit. They could move slow enough that there aren't new maps for next year. But Aaron, there is also the chance that they redraw all of the legislative district maps. So everybody's going to have to figure out where they live, what district they live in, who's going to run. Do we have to recruit candidates for this race or that race? So, I mean, all the more reason for people to stay plugged in on, you know, who their legislator is and not assume, you know, that there's not going to be a competitive race, because there may be a lot of competitive races next year, right?
Yeah. And exactly as you're saying, I mean, this is the big takeaway with anything about maps right now is, if you are already informed, stay plugged in. If you're not informed, if you don't feel like you understand what's currently going on with maps in Wisconsin, get informed, because sort of no matter what happens, there's going to be a learning curve where we're either figuring out what new districts are, we're figuring out how to basically double down if we're still in our current districts, and what we're needing to do is educate every single person we know about why this momentum keeps needing to happen to change the maps. You know, either way, it's just like more learning, more educating, more talking to your friends, and seeing this through, whether it's a short game or a long game.
And Emily, I left you just enough time to say, where can people go on the InstaFace if they want to learn more about Motherhood for Good?
Yeah, check us out on Instagram, Motherhood for Good. We also have a Facebook page where we share a lot about what's going on in our community and things like that. And it's important to stay looking in, because we're going to have some events in person and we're going to really be ratcheting things up going into the next year.
All right. Very good. Thank you, ladies, so much. We appreciate it. Have a great
week. Pat.
Talk Bye. To you again soon.
Bye. Bye, Pat.
Back with Terry Bell after this.
This is the Shaw WAUK. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
If you're hearing one of Terry Bell's favorite groups, the Old 97s, then Terry Bell must be here to talk about three things you should know to start the week. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. I'm especially good, having watched the Badger women's volleyball team take out Illinois in straight sets, continuing to look dominant and, you know, setting themselves up well for that eventual rematch with Nebraska later this month.
That's just the thing. They won two matches this week that they really should have won, and they should be fine right up until, like you say, on the 24th, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. That ought to be for all the marbles, at least the Big Ten Conference Championship. Really important for seeding in the tournament. The Badgers set a program record for kills in a three-set match, 17 kills in just three sets, which is pretty amazing. Their front line is really gelling right now, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, it's just a brick wall. And and look, the football team is in the midst of a rebuild, but you've got the women's hockey team ranked number one in the nation, and the men's hockey team coming out of nowhere.
They might be the real story for the Badgers this year is the men's hockey team and how they are exceeding expectations right now. And it's a lot of fun. It's good for that program. The Kohl Center is a lot more fun when they're winning and people are excited.
Oh, without a doubt. All right. Three things you need to know to get the week started. Something we started with very early on in the show this morning, that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who had been trying to downplay talk of carrying through a threat to impeach Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. I guess he's going to push this. I guess he's going to do it. He's going to try to do it, I should say.
Well, he put through the articles of impeachment, gave them a committee assignment, which may or may not be a big deal. A lot of bills are put forward, as you know, having been in the legislature. A lot of committees are forwarded to committee and don't really go anywhere. So it's not necessarily a guarantee that things are moving. There's also some dispute, it seems, to whether or not Voss actually felt pressured by some of his old foes to the right of him who are behind this push, threatening to have him recalled or run an opponent against him when he's up for re-election. With politics, they say that they have asked, and it's not really, it was that they say it was a coincidence. It certainly looks like pressure, but it's really hard to say from this vantage point.
No, and look, we'll keep an eye on the committee that it was sent to. Right now, there's not their next meeting agenda doesn't include it. But again, this news just came down late in the week, so that could change. But the whole notion that, again, they can't just move on, that they're still letting the essentially the big lie, you know, be the tail that wags the dog, is the reason that we're paying such attention to this. I was gonna say, over the weekend, from the folks at Upfront, the weekend show put together by WISN Channel 12 in Milwaukee, they got a rare inside look at Foxconn and that complex in Racine, which has always been somewhat mysterious, was certainly overhyped. There are things going on, but we never quite really knew. apparently we're learning a little bit more about what actually happens in there.
Right. So apparently, and this was the first time television news cameras were ever allowed inside the Foxconn facility. And what we know is that about 1,000 people are working there. They're making data servers. The company doesn't like to say who, but Channel 12's people's looking around. They've come to conclusions probably for Google. And so 1,000 people are working. They're making things. It's a far cry from the 13,000 jobs that were promised years ago before they broke ground. But it's, you know, something is happening there, and things are being made and people are being employed. And we'll find out soon whether they're doing enough there to qualify for state tax breaks. That's that decision is around the corner.
And that's the main thing for them is that, you know, all these tax breaks that were initially set up with the promise of 13,000 jobs, which folks were always skeptical about that. And so that's been adjusted. The tax credits have been adjusted. And so it bears saying again that although this thing did start as a boondoggle, it is now, you know, these are legitimate tech jobs in Wisconsin. You want that to succeed. You want it to work. It's just the, you know, the secrecy was a little bit odd. So I'm glad a camera crew could get in so that we could, we just want to get back to treating Foxconn like any other, you know, job creator in Wisconsin instead of the political pawn it kind of was, you know, in those early years. Tech jobs are good here.
Yes, absolutely. One thing to keep in mind, you know, when businesses invite media in, they only show them what they want them to see. So that's, you have to take that in mind too, with a grain of salt.
Greg looked like he was going to give us nothing to see here.
No,
don't look behind that curtain, TV crew. There's nothing. We're not building Batmobiles. You
know, so just a thing about me, I used to be a barber and I cut the hair of a gentleman who ran one of the buildings at Foxconn. And they've been building for years now, and they never wanted anyone in there because they knew expectations would be created for them. So the fact it took years for people to get in finally, yeah, they've been building for a long time and keeping it real on the down low.
Yep. And again, we all get proprietary information. So, you know, we try to find that balance. Third thing to know is that PFAS continue to be studied in Wisconsin. They are these you know, industrial man-made chemicals that you eventually get into the water supply. They're bad. There's more of it than we know. And there's a lot of work to do.
Boy, almost three quarters of all water samples in a recent test that was done last year, summer and fall of last year, turned up some. It turns out these are below the benchmarks that the state and federal governments have set to be considered safe. So the water is I guess, you know, not as bad as it could be if these were above unsafe levels, but they're there. And that's the concerning thing, is that these are going far beyond just near factories or near military installations. This stuff is getting into the water. Boy, almost everywhere in Wisconsin now. It's pretty remarkable.
And it would be, yeah, nice to have a united legislature that wanted to identify this, fight it, and get people clean water a lot faster. Terry Bell has three things you need to know and runs the news joint over there at Civic Media. Thank you, Terry. Have a great
day. Thank you.
All right, Greg, thank you so much as well. We'll talk to you on Tuesday. A note that tomorrow we'll have Ben Wickler, the state Democratic Party chair, with us. And on Wednesday, we'll have State Senator Jeff Smith on. Up North News is the digital outlet for Courier Newsroom, a separate entity from Civic Media, but we love partnering with them for these 2 hours every morning. You can follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our newsletter there as well. Coming up next, Earl Ingram across most of the Civic Media Network, Chad Holmes in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James and the Gang in Wisconsin Rapids, Greg and Jane, part of Asgill's Wisconsin, after that. Have a great day. We'll see you Tuesday.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the